Okay, we started the Mishnah. We really should start it again to get into the Gemara. Okay, let's start from the beginning of the Mishnah. We'll go through quickly.
Mishnah about Kohen or?
She says it happened earlier. She says it happened later. Okay, let's start this. We've learned the Mishnah already, but Hanais is a Isha. A guy marries a woman. Leimatul of Solomon, she's not a virgin. Here met us, she says, Misherasti nenasti, I was forced, I was violated after the Kedushin. V'nistapcha sadeo, therefore it's your tough luck. Guy's not a Kohen. You have it? Sosan?
Yes.
Okay. He's not a Kohen, because then he wouldn't be allowed to marry her. As Yisrael did Kedushin with a girl, then they get married 12 months later, he says, you're not a virgin. She says, yes, I know that. I was raped after the Kedushin, and therefore it's your bad luck, because I was yours already. But who I meant, he says, no. Actually, Aristicha, it happened before I did the Kedushin with you. And therefore, v'yimekhi mekach tois. And you're lying to me. The acquisition was made in error, and therefore I don't have to pay you a ksuba. The question is, does it basically have to pay her a ksuba? If she was raped, if she's believed that she was raped, and it's his tough luck, because it happened after the Kedushin, he has to pay her ksuba. If she's lying, that it happened really, and it really happened before, and therefore she lied to him that she's a psula when she's not, so then he doesn't have to give her ksuba. So the question, who's believed, him or her? So, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer say, Naman is she's believed. Why is she believed? We're going to soon see in the Gemara that because she's for sure. She knows for sure, according, logically, she knows when it happened. Right? The husband doesn't know when it happened. He's just accusing her that it happened before. How's he supposed to know? There's no proof.
You said this is Shema and Bari?
Yeah, this is Bari of Shema. So far, this is what the Gemara is learning, the Mishnah. Okay? Rabbi Yeshua, so therefore, according to Ram Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, she's believed. Therefore, she can extract money for the ksuba. Right? She has to pay the ksuba. Rabbi Yeshua says, "Lay me pi on the chayim." We don't live from her mouth, meaning she's not believed. Therefore, what do we believe? Arehi becheskes ba'ula, we assumed that she wasn't a virgin. Atcha did tzores v'tosin, she lied to him. Atcha tavirai ledvaran, unless if she can prove her claim that she was raped after the Kedushin. Okay, now, before we start the Gemara, we discussed this last week, but let's get into the Gemara now, because it's a very basic Gemara, fundamental Gemara.
Oh, I don't understand. Why is the Harez Becheskat Be'ula Ad Shelata? But
in other words, we don't believe her, and we assume she was a Be'ula from before the Kedushin, and therefore she cannot extract money from him.
I thought all the Jewish girls are Becheskat.
We'll see in the Gemara exactly what that means. We'll see in the Gemara about that point that you're making. Bottom line is, the girl says, let's rephrase the argument of the Mishnah, we'll understand it in a different way. The girl says, you owe me money. He says, you owe me a ksuba. I'm sure I was raped afterwards. You owe me a ksuba. He says, I don't know. Maybe it was done before. He doesn't know. He doesn't have any proof. Right? He says, I don't know. Maybe I do, maybe I don't. So basically, this case is, I come to you and I say, you owe me money. And you say, I don't know, I'm not sure. Right? Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer says, she's believed. Because Bari, certain, and Shema, maybe. Bari is better than Shema. Definite is better than doubt. Enough so to extract money also. Even to extract money. Rabbi Yeshua holds, no. We don't believe her. Why don't we believe her? It's not that we don't believe her. But this is not valid enough to extract money. There's a rule in the Gemara. Hamaiti mechaveirei olavaraya. If I want to extract money from you, the burden of proof is on me. If I say you owe me $1,000, I have to prove it, not you. Because I want to extract money from you. I want to take out money from you. So the burden of proof is on me. So the question is, if I say for sure, and you don't know, is that enough of a valid proof to extract money or not? So Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer say it is. Therefore, when she says, it happened to me after the Kedushin, and you owe me the Ksuba, meaning she says, you owe me the $200 of the Ksuba, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer says, that is enough to extract money. Why? There's a rule, if I want to extract money, the burden of proof is on me. But once you say, I don't know, you're weakened. In other words, if I say you owe me $1,000 and you say, no, I don't, so the burden of proof is on me. That's for sure. But once you say, I don't know, you are strengthening my complaint. You're strengthening my taina, my whatever you call it. What I'm asking for. Mm-hmm. So that's the argument. I mean, if Shua says no, Bari Veshama, this is the way the Gemara learns now. Bari Veshama, definite versus doubt, is not enough to extract money.
Doesn't say that. Rabbi Yeshua doesn't say that. It could be that he also
he
says you can extract.
No,
he just said she's.
This is the way the Gemara is learning the argument now. We didn't finish the Gemara. We didn't even start the Gemara. Yeah. But this is the way the Gemara is learning the argument in the Mishnah. And that's why the Gemara says like this. Itmar, we learned in the Gemara. Okay? Rashi says, Kasalka daitach mikod bari v'shama bari adif. Okay? That's what Rashi explains. This is what the Gemara thought now. Okay, Itmar, we learned in an argument of two Amoraim. More. Money, liyibiyadecha, if somebody says, you owe me $100. Money is $100. V'alo oimer eini yadeya. And the guy says, I don't know. Look exactly the case we just said. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Huna Amir Chayiv. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Huna say you have to pay him the money. Rabbi Nachman and Rabbi Yechon Amir Potter. Rabbi Nachman and Rabbi Yechon say you don't have to pay him the money. Obviously we're speaking with no proof at all. Neither side has a proof. It's just a very simple case. I come to you, you owe me $100. You say, I don't know. So what's the din? Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna say you have to pay him the money. Rav Nachman and Rav Yechon say you don't have to pay him the money. And the Gemara explains. Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda Amri Chayiv. Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda say you have to pay him the money because Bari Veshema, certainly versus perhaps, Bari Adiv. Certain is stronger than perhaps. Rav Nachman and Rav Yechon Amri Potter. Why do they say Potter? It's definite. L'cheira, certain is better than a doubt, but they say uka mameina b'cheska smarti because the money still goes where it is. You keep the money where it is. In other words, it's the question over here is very simple: is the doubt on the defendant's part, or the guy really the guy that's asking for the money? Yeah, no, the defendant doesn't know. Does that weaken his ownership of the money? Now, normally, if I say you owe me money, the burden of proof is on me. Everybody says that's if the guy says, no, I don't. Mm-hmm. Then obviously the burden of proof is on me. What happens if the guy says, I don't remember? And Taisus right away says, interesting thing. What is I don't know. What does he say? Taisus says, he says, I don't know if you lent me the money. But if the guy says, yes, I lent you the money, I borrowed the money, and I don't remember if I paid you or not, then everybody says he would have to pay.
The guy said, I don't know what you were talking about. He has to say,
That means I never lent it to you.
Okay, so as long as he's...
No, I don't know what you're talking about is not Shema. Shema means, maybe I do, maybe I don't. I don't remember.
Oh.
If you come to me, I say, you know what you're talking, I don't know what you're talking about. That means no. It's not maybe, it's a definite no.
I see. It doesn't have to do, I don't remember what you're, okay.
No, if guy says, I remember, I don't know, it says, I don't know what you're talking about. That means no.
If he says,
But Tyson says over here, it's like this. When the guy says, you owe me $100, and he says, I don't know, Shema, I don't know. Maybe, yeah, maybe not. What is he saying? He's saying, maybe I never took the money. But if he says, I borrowed the money, I don't remember if I paid, then he has to pay. Why? Because he admits that there was an obligation. Not made of b'mixus. Made of b'mixus says, you owe me 100, you say I owe you 50. Here he says, for sure I owed you. Mm-hmm. No. If he says, I borrowed the money, I don't remember if I paid, he's saying like this, for sure I owed you. I don't remember if I still owe you. Then you have to pay it. If the guy says, I don't remember if I ever borrowed the money, then he's doubting the whole thing from the beginning, then that's the argument in the Gemara. There's, of course, the Gemara in Bava Kamma says he would have to pay in that case. Okay, so again, the Gemara's case is, you owe me $100, the guy says, I don't even remember if I borrowed the money. Then one opinion says he has to pay, one opinion says he doesn't have to pay. If he says, I for sure do not owe you the money, then everybody says he doesn't have to pay. If he says, I remembered, yes, I borrowed the money from you, but I don't remember if I paid, Taisa says he has to pay. Taisa calls a Gemara, clearly, that says you have to pay. Only question over here is, I don't remember if I borrowed the money from you or not. I don't know. I don't remember. So one opinion says he has to pay, one opinion says he doesn't have to pay. So he says like this. Amalei Abaye l'Rav Yosef, Abaye says to Rav Yosef, Hod Rav Huna v'Rav Yehuda. This din of Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, that say, Yechayev, you do have to pay, it's strong enough to extract money, is not their own opinion. It's really Shmuel's opinion. It's not their own personal, Shmuel said the opinion. Why? The Tanan, it says in the Mishnah like this. Haisa Muberes, if an unmarried woman was pregnant. Okay? You see, an unmarried woman is pregnant. Va'amalo, on the Besdin Center, Mativa Shul Ubrze. What's the nature of this baby? In other words, kosher father, not kosher father, mamzer, not mamzer, like, who's the father? And she says, Me'ish Pliny, by so and so, Vuhu Kayin. And Rashi says, it doesn't mean the Kayin, he's a kosher Jew. Okay? Yeah? You understand the case? A woman's pregnant, and Besdin comes to her and says, hey, they want to know if this kid's going to be a kosher, it could be a mamzer, a shtuki, a sufi, you know, all these crazy cases we learned, yeah? Besdin comes over to the girl, to the woman who's pregnant, and says, because they don't know who the father is, right? We don't know.
Wait, was there a marriage?
No, she's unmarried.
Unmarried.
Unmarried woman comes and is pregnant. If she's pregnant and married, we assume it's from the husband.
So what's the...
So listen a second. They come to this unmarried woman, and they say to her, who's pregnant, they say, who's the father of this baby? Maybe that's what they ask. And she says, a kosher Jew. Okay? Now, the question is, she believed or not?
Even if she's be a kosher Jew, it may... I tell automatically she becomes a...
We want to know if this kid is a kosher kid.
But there was no kiddushin, there was no...
So what? It's not a mamzer.
What's the status?
It's a regular kosher kid.
Without any kiddushin, without...
The kid's a kosher kid.
Without proper...
Well, we don't know. So Rav Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar say, Nemenis, she's believed. The same Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yeshua says...
Rabbi Yehuda.
No.
No. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar are in the Menace. Okay?
Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Omar Shemur.
I know. But I'm telling you, and Rabbi Yeshua says she's not believed. That's what it says in the Gemara, doesn't quote it. Oh. But that's what it says in the Mishnah. Okay? V'amir Rabbi Yehuda Meshmul, halacha k'ram Gamliel. The halacha that k'ram Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar, that she is believed. Yeah? Now just understand the same case. We don't know who the father. Beis Din doesn't know. Maybe kosher, maybe not kosher. She says, I know for sure it's kosher. Right? Mm-hmm. Rabbi Yeshua says, she's not believed that it's kosher. It's still a doubt. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Lazar says she is believed. Now, it's the same case as ours. She's certain that it's from a kosher Jew. Beis Din doesn't know. So Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lazar say she's believed, because she's for sure, and Beis Din's not. And Rabbi Yeshua says, no, she's still not believed, because it's not strong enough to establish something. Right? And Shmuel says, Halacha Kiram Gamliel. The Halacha is a Kiram Gamliel. Right? Which means that Shmuel holds Bari Vishema. Bari is better. Definite is stronger. Right? The Armele, the Gemara is still in the middle. The Armele, Rav Shmuel by Yehuda, Rav Yehuda, and Rav Shmuel by Yehuda said to Rav Yehuda, Shinin, a sharp one, Amart, Lola Mishme, the Shmuel, Locha Gamliel, Avbari Shaina. You told us that Allah Zekram Gamliel, even in the first Mishnah, which was our Mishnah, that whether she's a virgin or not, my Avbari Shaina, meaning, Alpha gav the ikla meima. Even though by the ksuba, right, you could say ukama meina becheskes mari, where there's a chazak of the ownership of the money, right? The husband owns the money, the wife wants to extract the money. She's certain when she became raped, and he's not certain. Amram Gamliel body odif. Yet Ram Gamliel says that body is even better. What does that mean? That Rav Gamliel, in our Mishnah, Shmuel says the halacha is like Rav Gamliel in our Mishnah. And the way the Gemara is learning our Mishnah now, what does it mean? That Bari, certain, is strong enough to extract money against even an ownership of money. It's strong enough to extract money. What's interesting over there, there's no, by the other case, you know who the father is of the baby? Over there, there's no chazak against it. We don't know. There's no chazak if the kid's not kosher. In other words, you have two arguments between Ram Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. Ram Gamliel and Rabbi Lezer go together, and Rabbi Yeshua. And Ram Gamliel says, certain is always better. In two cases, to extract money of the ksuba in our Mishnah, and even to establish the kid's kosher. Right? So Rav Gamliel holds, not only is certain better than maybe, certain is so much better than maybe, it can even extract money, where normally you can't.
So what happens with what you just brought up, Rabbi? That there is no claim. There is no chazak in the case of the kid.
Why no chazak in the case of the kid?
Well, in the case of the mammon, the husband has the money in his hand. He has some sort of chazaka. But here, Rabbanon are not saying anything. They don't know what's the status of the kid.
But is that strong enough to make... In other words, like this, there's automatically a doubt if an unmarried woman has a kid.
Yes, that's easy. That's easy.
There's automatically something fishy over here. Something's questionable.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that her certain statement? Is that enough to believe her?
Yeah, here it's because on the other side there is no chazaka. So it's, we can say it's bari adif, but in the case of the...
But even then, Rabbi Gamliel says, even in the case of extracting money, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer say that she gets the ksuba.
Because here, the other side, there is no chazaka that...
Right, but I'm saying the chiddush is, what's unique is, even when there's a chazaka against it...
Yeah.
It's still believed as certain over the doubt.
Fine, but we cannot compare the two cases because this case is not as strong as the other one. That's a real Chiddush here.
Let me ask you a question. A guy says this piece of, I know for sure this meat is kosher. And the guy says, I don't know. Who do you believe?
The one that says kosher.
Why not? The only problem, in other words, certain is better than doubt. That's for sure.
One second.
Certain is better than doubt. The only question is it strong enough to extract money?
Okay. That I understand. What I don't understand is the two cases, they are not parallel to each other.
Correct.
You cannot deduce from one.
Yeah, but that's why Rav Gamliel, Rav Elazar versus Rav Yishai arguing in both cases.
Mm-hmm.
And the Gemara says, Shmuel said, Dalach Zekam Gamliel in both cases.
Fine, but...
That means that Bari Vishama Bari Adif is better in all cases, even to extract money. When it's not to extract money, for sure. But even then, by the way, Rav Yishai says we don't believe her.
Okay, fine.
Why?
All I'm saying, that this Mishnah that we just brought is not any kind of proof to the our main argument. The Mishnah we brought, the
correct,
Tana,
but the
it
proof
doesn't
is,
do anything.
But that's why you don't understand. The proof is from the fact that Shmuel said Aloch Zekram Gamliel even in our Mishnah.
Oh.
So therefore, when Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda say Bari is Adif and it could be Chayiv money, right? It's really Shmuel's halacha, because Shmuel said the halacha is a Kerem Gamliel. But now the Gemara says that's the case, that the argument, we had an argument between Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna versus Rav Nachman and Rav Yechanan. What's stronger is really the argument between Rav Gamliel and Rav Yeshua. So Gemara says if that's the case, Lema Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna, the Amir Kerem Gamliel, maybe Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna, that say, Bari Veshama, Bari Adif, that certain verses doubt is stronger even to extract money. They hold like Rav Gamliel. Rav Nachman, Rav Yechen, Namik Rav Yeshua, and Rav Nachman, Rav Yechen will say like Rav Yeshua, that it's not strong enough to extract money. Okay? So Gemara says, no. Amalav Rav Nachman, so what's wrong with that? The question is very simple. Why do Amiroim of the Gemara have to argue the same argument as the Mishnah? Right? Why do you have to argue the same thing again? So Amar Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman says like this. Even though I say you cannot extract money, but Ad Kan Lo Yikamen Rav Gamliel Hosim, you know where I hold the Rav Gamliel that you really could extract money. But you know when you can extract money, Hosam, by the wife's claim of the Ksuba, the Ika Migui. She has a Migui, I'm going to explain this whole thing in a second, to bolster it. I will hocha, but in the case of a loan dispute, my Migui Ika. What Migui is there? Meaning like this. We want to compare, what the Gemara is doing is comparing two cases. One, a woman says, you owe me the Ksuba, and the husband says, I don't know. We want to compare it to a loan. You owe me $100. I don't know. We're comparing both cases. Because similarly, they sound the same. The wife says, I was raped after the Kedushin, therefore I do get a Ksuba, for sure. And the husband says, I don't know, maybe we were raped before the Kedushin, and you don't get a Ksuba. Right? So the question is her definite claim enough to extract the money of the husband for the Ksuba? And the Gemara likened it to the case of Rav Nachman and Rav Yehud over here, on a regular loan case. Not a Ksuba case, a loan case.
That case of Mishnah was gone, the one that she was...
We're not talking about that now. But what are we comparing between our Mishnah and the Gemara? Our Mishnah says if the girl is definite that she deserves the Ksuba, and the husband is doubtful, she gets it. Right? Bari Vishema. What do we compare it to? A case of a loan. I say you owe me $100, and you say, I don't know. And we're comparing both cases. But I said the two cases are not similar. Even though both extract money, this is extracting the Ksuba money, and this is extracting the loan money that he says you owe me, but they're still different. Because the case of our Mishnah, the girl has another legal way of getting the money. What happens if a girl says, and this we learned before in the Gemara, remember, instead of being lived with somebody, a piece of wood went in and broke the virginity? Okay. That girl still gets a ksuba of 200, because she was never lived with. Mm-hmm. And then what undoes the virgin ksuba to a half the price of a divorcee widow, whatever it is, the fact that she lived with somebody. But if she didn't live with somebody, and it was broken by a stick, that was the case in the Gemara, of a stick, she'll get the 200. Now, let's understand the case in our Mishnah. A guy marries a girl. After the marriage, he says, hey, you're not a virgin. I'm not paying you a ksuba. You lied to me. She said, what are you talking about, I lied to you? I was raped after the kedushin, so it's your tough luck.
She could have said,
if she's lying, she could have said, you know what? Yeah, it happened with a stick. And therefore, even if it happened before the kedushin, you still would have to give me $200 for the virgin ksuba. So maybe that's why Rav Gamliel says, in that case, definite is better than doubt. Because there's a migui. Migui is an Igmar expression, which is literally like this. Migui. Since if she lied, she could say a better lie, we believe them with what they say. There's a rule in Gemara. You believe a person with what they say, because if they're lying, they could have said a better lie.
Right.
Friends, I'll give you an example. You come to me, I owe you $1,000. Yeah? I say, you never lent me the money. No, I'm sorry. Take it back. I say, I paid it. You have no proof, I have no proof. Nobody has proof. Nobody has proof. You come to me and say, you know what? I lent you $1,000. And I say to you, I paid it back. So there's a lot of argument in the Gemara, but for the clarity. One opinion, the Gemara says, I'm believed that I paid it. Why? Because if I'm a liar, I would have said a better lie. You never lent it to me. What's a better lie? You never lent me the money, or you lent it to me and I paid it back? Obviously, you didn't lend it to me is better. Because if I say you lent it to me and I paid it, that means I do admit that I was guilt at one time. I do admit that I owe you the money, but I don't owe you anymore. Mm-hmm. If I say you never lent me the money, that basically says, you know what?
You got the wrong guy.
You got the wrong guy. I have nothing to do with you. So that's called a migui. Migui is, we believe a person with what he says, because if he lie, he'd be able to say a better lie. So Rabbi Nachman says really like this. By alone, Rabbi Gamliel would agree to me that he cannot extract money. Rabbi Nachman says, Bari Vishem, by alone, cannot extract money. Yeah? He says, really, Rabbi Gamliel would hold agree with me by alone. Why by the ksuba does he say she gets it? Because over there, there's a different problem, a different uniqueness. Because she could have said a better lie that it happened with a stick, and then for sure she would get the ksuba. There's one problem with this that the Rishonim talk about. Tais talks about it a little bit. Migui is only good enough to get out of payment, not to get payment.
Translation of migui?
Migui, the word migui literally means since.
Since?
Since. In other words, it's one word for a whole. Basically, it means we believe him with what he says because if he's lying, he'll be able to say a better lie. Now, that concept of migui, Halacha says, is not good enough to extract money. It's only enough to not pay money. Because I got the money. I have the chazakim.
Right.
Migui is not strong enough to extract money. Why? Because how do you know the guy would have thought of a better lie? He was not so smart.
That's true.
To extract money, you need 100% proof. To extract money, you need 100% proof.
Right.
95% proof is not enough to extract money.
Okay. Isn't there a migu with regard to the money case?
Why? What's the migu?
He says, I lend you the money.
And he says, I don't remember if you did.
He could have said...
Okay, we're not in the Gemara enough yet. They always ask kids this question. Right? Bari v'shama, bari odif, certain versus doubt, certain is better. Right? So the question is, why don't you believe the guy that says maybe, because he is amigo, you could have said for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right?
It's a trick question they always ask little kids to see how their brains work.
It goes back to
this. It's late at night, I know. Migui means you believe him with what he says. What do you want to tell? You believe doubt. You believe him that he's doubt because he could have lied and said for sure. So therefore we believe him that he's in doubt. Yeah, you believe him that he doesn't know. So what does that mean? Instead, you can't believe, you believe him that he doesn't know. So... Migui means we believe a guy with what he says now, because if he's lying, he could have said a better lie. So if a guy says, I don't know. So you say, believe him that he does know, because he could have said, I know. So the answer is, we do believe him that he doesn't know. We believe him, but he doesn't know.
What's the question they ask the kids again?
This question.
This question, because if he knows, he knows, he doesn't know.
No, if I say, you owe me $100, and you say, I don't know.
Right.
Right?
Believe the guy doesn't
know. So believe it. No, well, that's the argument in the Gemara here. But let's say, I'm sure and you're doubtful, so I'm believed, yeah? Why don't they believe you? Because you could have said a better lie, that it's for sure I don't know you.
Well,
the answer is, we believe in what he says. What does he say? I don't know. So I know, you don't know, so I don't know. I know is better than I don't know.
Because this is, if he knew it, but he says he doesn't know, it doesn't start.
But over here, so the question is, what type of migui does the Gemara say he has by the Ksuba? So the answer, the Rishonim answer, because the fact that the husband doesn't know, normally a migui is not strong enough. You don't believe a guy with a migui to extract money. But because the guy says, I don't know, the husband doesn't know, it's strong enough to strengthen her definite claim even to extract money.
Oh. So if he says, you shouldn't say, I don't know.
I'll give you an example. Bari and Shema.
No, if a guy says, I know for sure you were raped then, before. I know for sure you were raped before the Kiddush.
Mm-hmm.
He can't prove it, but he says, I'm certain. And I have proof, let's say, whatever. And she says, no, it happened afterwards. Do you give her the migui that she could have said, I was to buy a stick? To extract the money?
Then no. She cannot.
That she cannot, because a migui then would be to extract money. Mm-hmm. And a migui is not strong enough to extract money. Why over here would it extract money?
Because
he says, I don't know.
So it goes back to Bari and Shema.
Yeah.
No, if it's Bari Vada, there is no...
Yeah, but Rav Nachman says, not all Bari and Shema is Bari always better.
Mm-hmm.
Here, because she has a migui, together with the Bari... against his Shema, so Bari with Migui is better than Shema. But Bari itself without a Migui is not better than Shema. And Therefore, Rav Nachman says, really, by the loan, Rav Gamliel would agree to me that Bari is not better. And therefore, he could not get the loan. The fact that he says definite versus Shema is not strong enough to extract money. Because there's no migui there. And Bari Vishema is not strong enough by itself to extract money. Why does Rav Gamliel say by the Ksuba it does extract money? Because Rav Gamliel is saying over here it's not only definite versus maybe, she has a migui. She could have lied a better lie if she wanted, and therefore together it's strong enough to extract money. Or Inami, the Gemara says, Ad kan leikam Ram Gamliel Hossam. Why does Ram Gamliel in our Mishnah say that she extracts the ksuba? Damrin ukma chazaka. Because normally, a woman has a body chazaka that she's a virgin. A girl is born a virgin. Until you know for sure she's not, that established fact remains. Right? So now, one opinion says, the husband says it happened before the Kedushin. She says it happened after the Kedushin. Now, the Chazaka is on her side. Because if there's a Chazaka, girl's a virgin, and you want to break the Chazaka by saying either earlier or later, Torah says, because the chazaka, there's an established fact that she's a virgin, it stays as long as possible. So rather than believing him that it happened before the Kedushin, we believe her that it happened after the Kedushin.
Based on what grounds?
Because she has a chazaka, her body is a virgin. A girl is born virgin?
Yes.
Okay. Now the question is, the husband says you're not a virgin.
Right.
Now the question is, did it happen before the Kedushin? Therefore she lied to him.
Right.
And he doesn't have to give her a ksuba.
Right.
Or did it happen after the Kedushin?
Right.
Now, where's more logical if a girl has a chazaka that she's a virgin, mm-hmm. which is a halachic power,
right.
then we keep that chazaka virginity as long as possible. Oh. So why should we believe the husband that it happened before the Kedushin? It makes more sense to believe her that it happened after the Kedushin because she has a chazaka on her side that she's a virgin. That's much stronger.
Ukma chazaka goes on her?
On her body.
Not on the fact that he has money in his hand?
No. Abul Hoch, by the loan, what chazaka does the guy says you owe me the money have? The girl says, you owe me the ksuba. But she has a chazaka on her side. The guy comes to the guy, you owe me money. He has no chazaka.
He said it. He holds the money.
No. I come to you and say, you owe me money.
Oh.
And you say, I don't know. Mm-hmm. What do I have? A chazaka or just bari?
Bari.
No chazaka. The girl has bari and a chazaka. So maybe that's why Ram Gamliel says you can extract the money. Okay, and they even quote the Ramban over here that says that she's not a virgin now, but if it happened through a stick, okay, she's still legally a virgin until the marriage. Even though she might not actually be virgin because the stick did it, but what makes, as far as we're concerned, her a non-virgin is only when somebody lived with her.
Right.
That's when she becomes a non-virgin. So the man explains, even if she has this migui, that she could have said mukasaitani, But that would make her a virgin until the wedding, which is again part of the chazaka. As long as possible, to keep her a virgin. And the Gemara says, "Hachinamis mstaberik mishaninan." It also logical, reasonable, logical to say, like we answered, Rav Nachman holds a Kram Gamliel. Why? Dim came, because if not, Kasha Hilchasa Hilchasa will be a contradiction between two laws. Meaning like this. There's a rule in Gemara that Rav Nachman was such an expert in monetary disputes. Whenever Rav Nachman argues with somebody in monetary disputes, he's always right.
We don't be passing
like Rav Nachman. Allah k Rav Nachman b'mameina. Okay, b'dina. Right? Mm-hmm. Now, what does Rav Nachman say in our case? Bari v'shama, the guy cannot extract the money. Right? That's what Rav Nachman says, by the loan. Rav Nachman says, it's not strong enough to extract money. Right? Yet, Allah is a Kram Gamliel. Then you could extract money. By Ksuba. So seemingly, it seems to be a contradiction. By Ksuba, Rav Gamliel says, we paskin the Allah is a Kram Gamliel. Right? That you could, she does get the Ksuba. By over there, we paskin the Rav Nachman that she, the guy by the loan cannot get the money. Ah, it's a contradiction. But based on the answer we answered, it's not a contradiction.
No, it's two different cases.
So Gemara says it's even logical to say that there are two distinct cases. Our Mishnah, that means according to this outcome of the Gemara, by the way, the Gemara says, Shmami, that's a good proof. Our case is not because of only Bari Vishama, Bari Odif in the Mishnah.
Bari Shema, and there's a
Chazaka. Or Amigui.
Or Amigui.
See, Rashi in the first thing said, Kasalka Daitoch, the Gemara thought, now the argument is Bari Hashem Bari Odev. Right? Which implies that the outcome of the Gemara is not like that. Because Rashi, the initial thinking is, and the truth is, according to the outcome of our Gemara, this that Ram Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer say, that if the woman says, I want my Ksuba because it happened after we got Kedushin, and Ram Gamliel says you can extract money, it's not because of the rule Bari Veshema Bari Odif. Because the halach is Bari Veshema, Bari is not better. Definite and doubt cannot extract money, like Rav Nachman rules. That the guy by the loan has no proof he cannot get the money. Why does our Mishnah, and we rule like that, why does Ram Gamliel hold in our Mishnah that this girl can get the virgin Ksuba? In other words, it's her definite claim that I was raped after the Kedushin, and therefore I do get the Ksuba. Versus the husband's doubtful, because he doesn't know what happened, doubtful saying that it happened before, why can she extract money? It's not because of Bari Veshema. It's because she has a migui, she could have said it was with a stick, or she has a chazaka that she has a virgin body, and that's why Ram Gamliel holds she gets the money. But really the truth is, just in practical halacha, the Gemara says we paskin like Rav Nachman, that Bari Veshema, doubt indefinite, is not strong enough to extract money. But in other cases, by the way, like for instance, the girl says, who is this, the pregnant girl? You ask her, who's the baby? She said, yeah, for sure, a kosher guy. Yeah? Over there, she's believed, because there's no, she's not fighting. It's not going against anything. She's definite that it's a kosher baby. The Beis Din says, we don't know. But it's not going against holding money or any chazaka.
No claim
against it. So then, Bari, definite, is better than doubt. But definite is not better than doubt to extract money. And that's the outcome of this Gemara, by the way. The Gemara rules that Bari Veshema, by money, to extract money, it's not better. But in other cases, it is better. Like I said, if a guy says, I know for sure this piece of meat is kosher. Another guy says, I don't know, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. No, who do you believe?
Well, Shama says kosher.
Ah, he's bar Yerusha Shama. But it's not going against anything.
The guy, right, he doesn't know.
Right. Let's say it would be established that this store is treif.
Well, let me ask a question. Let's say that the guy says kosher, and the other guy says, I don't think it's kosher. Right?
Yeah, but so he's saying, say, I don't think because.
He says, I don't think it.
Why is he saying, I don't think?
Right, because he has a doubt. So then.
But what happens if the store was established to be treif?
Oh.
And the guy takes out a piece of meat from the store, and he says, I know this meat is kosher. And Bezin says, we don't know.
Okay.
Right?
So,
I'll
already been passing the
discussion. I'll give you another example. I'll give you an example. It's a very practical case. Oh, well.
The concept
is practical, not the case. There's 9 stores selling kosher meat. Mm-hmm. 1 store sells treif meat.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm-hmm. In the courtyard, yeah?
Yeah.
On Pico Boulevard. There's 9 kosher stores, 1 treif store.
We had something like that.
I know. Now, you find a piece of meat outside the store.
Which store?
Which one?
They're in a courtyard. You find it in the middle.
Right there in the middle.
Okay.
Don't know what it is.
So the din is, the meat is kosher. Because we assume it came from the majority. That's the law. What happens if a guy bought, there's 9 stores, and 1 kosher, and 1 treif, and the guy bought meat from a store, and he says, I don't remember which store it is, then it's 50-50, the meat is treif. If the meat leaves the stores, so now the question is on this meat that separated itself from the store, where does it belong to? So the din is goes by the majority. Called the punish, middle of the punish.
So the meat's not kosher.
But it's called kavua, if the doubt is not on the meat, the doubt is which store, and that store is a permanent store, it didn't go anywhere, so then it's 50-50.
I have a question about
that. One more second, that's not loch. Okay. Now, so to make something kosher, we go by the majority. Correct? You find the meat outside the store, the meat is kosher. Majority is not enough to extract money, though. Meaning, if I sell, you see these two bottles, okay, there's a bottle and a cup, okay? And I come to you and I say, sell me a cup of soda. And you charge me a price. And I take the cup, I say, 1 minute, I asked for a bottle, you give me a cup. And the guy says, I call this a cup. I mean, I call this a bottle. Okay? I say to you, give me a bottle of soda. Okay, and you give me a cup. I say, 1 minute, I ordered a bottle. And you paid for it, so hold on. Yeah, I finished. I say, 1 minute, I ordered a bottle. I didn't order a cup. He says, I call this a bottle. I call this a bottle. So the Gemara says that if majority of people call this a bottle, it's still not going to be enough to extract money. Majority is not enough to extract money. But ain't nochem b'mam menachad aleif. Okay?
What is enough to extract money?
I'll give you another example. The Gemara says, there's two types of ox. There's two types of oxes. Oxen. Yeah? There's an ox to slaughter for meat, and there's an ox to work in a field. Yeah? Which ox is more expensive?
Field?
A field is much more expensive. This ox I'm killing, goodbye, for the meat.
Right.
This ox I'm going to use. Right. Then I can kill it for meat.
Right?
Yeah,
you said it.
Okay. So now I say, here's $200, give me a working ox. And you give me an ox. They found out it's a goring ox that can only shecht it. Right? So even though some people buy like this and some, but the majority buy like this, it doesn't matter. By money, it'll go by the majority. You don't go by the majority. In other words, majority, not opinions of a Beis Din, majority circumstances are not enough to extract money. Right? So why by meat, if majority makes it kosher, but by money, it's not strong enough to extract. It's strong enough to make the meat kosher.
Right.
But it's not strong enough to extract money. Why?
It's monetary, yes.
So what if it's monetary?
So then,
because, again, by money, you want to take out money from guy?
Yeah, you have to prove.
He holds the money. It's his money.
Right.
You want to extract it. Majority is not good enough. You know why?
Right.
Majority is not definite. Majority is probably kosher. Probably you owe me the money.
Oh, it's a shema?
It's right. Not a shema. Rave.
Right.
Let me ask you a question. You find the meat outside the store. You have the case we said before. 9 stores sell kosher, 1 store sells treif. The meat's kosher or not? Yeah? Now let me ask you a question. Is it 100% that the meat is kosher, or it's only 90%?
90.
It's 90% kosher. It's still 10% that it's not. But by kashrus, the Torah says that 90% is good enough to make it kosher, because you're not fighting anything. 90% says take out money, 10% says don't take out money. Yeah? 90% is not enough to extract money that you own, because to extract money you own, it means 100% proof.
Because you have a chazaka.
Because you have a chazaka. But the meat, there's no chazaka kosher treif. It's a doubt. A doubt, majority rules. What did you want to ask? You want to ask something, but you probably forgot already.
Yeah, probably.
Body and Shema, the halacha is cannot extract money. Because Bari is not good enough to extract money. By Ksuba, where there's a Bari against the Shema, plus a Chazaka, plus a Migui, so Ram Gamliel says that is strong enough to extract.
Chazaka or Migui? Nope.
Either one, right. It depends which answer. But the truth is she has both. There's a Migui and a Chazaka of her body.
Hmm.
The fact is she has both. That's enough to extract money. Why? Why? Tosis explains, because once the guy says, I don't know, he weakens his chazaka. I say, you owe me $100, and you say, I don't know. You are weakening that holding that you have.
He didn't have a chazaka to start with.
What?
He didn't have a chazaka to start with.
He did, it's his money. If I come over to you, he has you have a phone, yeah? This. I use it. Yeah? And you pull it away from me. And you say it's yours.
He's got chazaka now.
What's Bez? No, yeah, but what's Bez going to say?
You had it.
Yeah, so the guy said, how do you know it's his?
Right. The guy who has it now is the one who has chazaka.
There's an established rule in Torah.
Whoever's got it.
Okay. Not the one that has it now. Not the one that has it now.
Hold on.
Chazaka means, if I know for sure it was definitely, there's an assumption it's your money. But it's interesting. It's not Raif. It's not, most probably it's yours. If it's in your hand, it's 100% yours.
Whether it's stolen or not.
It doesn't matter. Right. If something is in your hand, it's 100% yours. Now, if I want to extract that,
you gotta prove it.
I have to prove it. But what happens if I say, I don't even know if it's mine. Maybe I owe you the money. Maybe I don't owe you the money. That weakens my power. And then, Bari, together with Migui, or Chazak, is strong enough to extract the money. Even though Bari itself can't, Migui itself can't, right? Chazak, for that matter, in this case, not necessarily. But the fact that the guy says Shema weakens his complaint, his taina, and because of that, he's automatically weakened. And therefore could extract money by the case of the ksuba. By a regular case, body of Shema, it's not strong enough to extract money. Majority is good enough to decide if something's kosher or not, but majority is not good enough to extract money.
How does this work with opinion?
Oh, opinions doesn't matter. No, majority opinion rule.
Well, so in other words, let's say.
No, one second. If a Beis Din is three people.
Yeah.
Yeah? Two say you owe him the money.
Well,
two say you owe. Two are fighting.
Right.
The Beis Din.
Right.
Two out of the three say you owe him the money.
Yeah.
One judge says you don't.
Right.
What's the halacha?
I guess the majority.
Majority rules. Either extracting money.
Right.
Because that's in halacha.
Right.
The Torah says you follow majority in halacha. But not in a circumstance.
Hmm.
Not in the, is the meat kosher or not? Do I owe him the money or not? If the Beis Din makes a ruling like that.
Fact.